Hey, it's Bob Stauffer. I just wanted to let you know that you can listen to Oilers Now ad-free on Amazon Music, included with Prime.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time, the Roast of Tom Brady, a Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart, the seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for the Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
This is the second hour of Oilers Now. Oilers Now is brought to you by World of Spas, Edmonton's number one hot tub and swim spa dealer, the ideal place to start your daily vacation. Want to mention to you that guests and Oilers Now receive gift cards to Japanese Village, Edmonton's favorite teppanyaki steak restaurant. You can book your celebration for the census at jvedmonton.ca, brand new location on Calgary Trail. Don and his staff at Japanese Village. We will head off to the River Cree Resort Casino hotline. River Cree Resort Casino, again, Burton Cummings on Thursday night. And tickets available at rivercreeresort.com. Excitement, bet on it. As we go to our headliner today. And our headliner is presented by Wilhauk Beef Jerky. It's the best you've ever tasted. Search for Wilhauk, W-I-L-H-A-U-K today. All we needed for the Quebec Major Junior Hockey League tough guy trifecta in this hour is to have brought Joe Thoreau on the show, because we got Columbus Blue Jackets analyst Jody Shelley and George LaRocque coming up in the next hour as we head off to the River Cree Resort Casino Hotline. And welcome back to the show, Jody Shelley. How you doing, Jody?
I'm doing great, Bob. You got George coming on, huh? He's tell him I said hi.
Yeah. Did he ever say hi to you?
We said hi a few times in the penalty box after he beat me up a few times, but very short conversations.
It's funny because the Quebec League won the Memorial Cup for the fourth consecutive year last night, and George was on the first team in Granby that ended about a 25-year run where the Q hadn't won the Memorial Cup championship. And if I recall, in his first game in Granby, he fought. I mentioned Joe Thoreau. For some reason, I thought he fought Joe. Now, were you a teammate of his at one point in the Quebec League?
Yeah, we called him Terrio. Is that what you mean?
Well, no, help me out on the pronunciation. So it's pronounced Terrio?
Yeah, Joel Terrio.
Okay.
Yeah, he was my teammate in Halifax for one season, and he was tough.
He was tough?
Oh, he was tough. And George LaRocque in Granby, that rink is, when he's on the ice, the rink felt like it was like a miniature ice surface, because he was so big, so fast, and you could feel him coming, and the boards were like cement. Remember the old rinks? Boards were like rock, the glasses were like rock, and George would just run people over in that arena. Scary.
I should have remembered it was Terrio, because there was a coach in U Sports, Paul Terrio. He actually did the 92 University Cup for TSN as a color guy. So
okay.
How's that for useless, trivial information? So you got to have a little bit of pride there that the Quebec League's gone from the I actually think the best sleepers often can be found in the Quebec League, because I think there's some organizations that had a bit of a bias. But four straight years now, they've won the Memorial Cup. They must be doing something right.
You know, it's always been the toughest league in the CHL. We know that. And always the best goaltenders. We know that, right? That's why it was so hard for us to score out there. they're doing something right. There's some great organizations in the Canadian Hockey League. And you know, the Quebec League's got a lot of history, too. I mean, they've got teams that have been in some areas for a long time. And now they're pulling from the Maritimes, right, which really opened things up for them and putting those teams in there. So there's some good talent they're finding. Plus, they're getting American players and European players, so it's really boosted the talent level that's come out of there. And, you know, when you're a young player, like you look at Halifax where I played, there's been some amazing players that have impacted the National Hockey League who have come through there. And I think it's like London of the Ontario Hockey League. If you're a player that can go to those cities with everything they have to offer, it's pretty appealing.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's... It's unbelievable, really, when you think about it. WHL won 16 out of 26 championships from 83 to 08, and they've only won one since, and that was the Oil Kings in 14. But, Jody, I mean, Seattle had, you know, six guys off Canada's World Junior team. And they got Patty Waugh did a good job, 5-0 shutout. All right, let's switch focus to the Columbus Blue Jackets, the team that you cover on a day-to-day basis. You do some work, obviously, for TNT, and you're on the NHL Network as well. The Mike Babcock rumors are out there. I remember, Mike at the University of Lethbridge winning a national championship there. That'd be like Vanderbilt winning an NCAA football title. Like, it just doesn't happen. You got no chance to win there. He's a hell of a coach. Do you have any reason to believe it's not going to be the case, or do you think we're looking at Babs as the next head coach of the Columbus Blue Jackets?
You know, everything I've read, everything I hear, it seems like that's the way they're going to go. And you know, there's been a lot of talk. We just had the Memorial Golf Tournament here in Columbus. And, you know, it's a big Jack Nicklaus event right in the middle of Dublin. And, you know, you go up there and walk around, and every person you're talking to is asking that question, who's going to be the head coach? Who's going to be the head coach? And that was Thursday and Friday when I was up there. So everyone's very keen on and wondering, and his name was obviously at the top. I think Travis Green was in the mix a little there too. There's some great coaches out there, but no one really knew. And then this rumor came out, and it seems like it's just created a buzz in the market. You're getting a lot of different reaction. A lot of fans are excited because of what you just said. This guy's a winner. You know, then there's some criticism about, you know, his past with some players and how they've spoken out. So that's obviously something that, you know, you hear those conversations throughout on social media and with some people. And I've also heard from some teammates that think, you know, there are some guys that I've played with who played for him. And you know, they're curious as to why that would be the hire, but I think it's the pedigree of what he does. He's a very structured coach. I think some superstars don't like structure too much. But you know, I think that his history and his getting his players to perform a certain way is exactly what they need in Columbus. And if he is the guy, it sounds like we can't be until after his contract expires in Toronto with the Maple Leafs on June 30th. If he is the guy, you know, he brings that that face that, you know, John Tortorella was the face of the franchise for a while. He did great things. Babcock will be a guy that everyone will watch from afar, and I think it's a respect factor with those superstars like Line A, Goodrow, that need to snap some things back to place here for this organization.
There are a plethora of good young players in Columbus. The team was injury riddled last year. I'm going to throw the million-dollar question at you. Would Columbus trade out of the number 3 overall spot? Normally teams don't.
Would they trade it?
Would they trade that pick to get some immediate help? Because they do have a little bit of cap space.
No, I don't think they would. I think that they put themselves in a situation in a good draft. Yarmo's a former scout. He really covets his draft picks. They have a later first-round pick that's in play. That's one that they'll definitely look at moving.
For Korpisalo?
Yeah. Exactly, Korpisalo and Gavrikov. So that one's in play. I wouldn't, the third overall pick, it would have to be something Connor McDavid-ish to come that way.
Yeah.
What do you think?
Well, Leo Carlson is not Connor McDavid.
No, definitely not.
And Connor Bedard's Marcel, that's who he is. He's Marcel Dion. When you see him play, you know, undersized, stockier, right shot, elite finisher, can pass the puck. That's who Connor Bedard reminded me of, was Marcel Dion, who was a vastly underrated player in NHL history. I mean, he had, you know, I think he had 10 40-plus goal seasons. Like, he had a great career. They got a lot of young guys. You mentioned Korpisalo. Is there any chance he ends up back in Columbus?
I don't think so, personally. I don't, because the way that it went for him here, you know, he came in, wanted to be the number one. They brought in Elvis, signed him long-term first. Then Korpisalo got the backup deal. He got injured. It wasn't great for him here. Now, I say that, and as I talk, I think, you know, they did give him a chance last year in re-signing him after being injured, gave him that one-year contract, ends up in L.A., maybe that is something worth, you know, that's something to him that he respects. Maybe he would be, but I think he's going to find, you know, and free agency is a pretty, it's flattering and overwhelming all in one when you have teams that are making offers to you. And I think he'll get priced out of this market with what they have right now. You know, he's a great goalie. He's found his health. He did a good job in the playoffs. He just ran out of steam. You know, he's one of those players that go overwhelmed at the end of it. But, no, I think he lands somewhere else, Bob.
Yeah, I'm going to be intrigued to see what happens here with the Blue Jackets. I mean, because to me, if they're hiring Babcock, you know, this guy, you know, they're looking to take a step forward, obviously, under Mike. And I think he's capable of doing it only because, again, I saw him win in a place where no one, they don't even have a program anymore at the University of Lethbridge. I mean, you played at frankly, it'd be like Dalhousie winning. Like Dalhousie never, they never are a top two or three team out of the AUS, right? And, you know, the reality is Babcock won at Lethbridge, and Mike Mann, who I worked for at the U of A about 20 years ago, is now the president of U of L, and they cut their hockey program. So he won at a place where they eventually ended up cutting the program after they hosted the national championship back in 2019. So here's the deal. It looks like it's going to be Babs. You say they're going to hold on to their third overall pick. Are they going to be quiet players in the market and free agency? Can you see them spending a little bit more money? Because they do have some cap space.
I think they do. You know, I really think that, this is an organization now that, you know, you talk about draft picks for a few years, and then you have all these young players that are in your system, but there's only, if you look at the Blue Jackets, there's only three spots available in the top six when you look at prospects coming in. And when you have high-end talent, these guys need to play on top position minutes, top power play units, you know, so they'll be in the minors and growing. But this organization, after signing Johnny Goodrow last year, was a buzz in the market, which it expedited their expectations and where they needed to be. With some of the names out there, you know, some veteran guys that might fit what they're trying to do here. Do we see Gus Nyquist come back here? He was a player that got traded at the deadline. He's a UFA. He's exactly what they like and what they need. He understands the system. They're not afraid to spend money. It's not something that they're worried about doing. They just want the right fit. You know, there's players here that, when you look at the high-end talent, some pieces might need to be moved out too, Bob. There's some pieces here that have gotten a little stale. And with last season, I think that they really saw what they had in some of these guys and their character, and they're not happy. So there'll be big changes, I think, in the offseason for this team, and spending won't be an issue.
Really? The one thing they do have is they've got some decent young prospect defensemen. They took Corson Coolmans, who played for Brooks, and they ended up getting him signed after 2 years at Wisconsin. He was a late first-round pick in 21. And then last year, they invested two picks in the top 12 on defense, in Juracek and then Matejczak. So, and I don't know, do you have, is Juracek the guy that's maybe the best bet to be on the team at the start of the season?
I think so, because he played in the American Hockey League last year. He got a sniff in the National Hockey League, but that's all they gave him. And interesting, right, because there were so many injuries, especially on defense, but we only saw him briefly at the end of the year, briefly at the beginning of the year. Other than that, they let him play down there, top power play, biggest minutes, all situations, exactly what he needed to do. He's got the size. He knows he needs to get stronger. But I think he's got the best shot coming into camp to be. And they got a lot of right-handed shot defensemen, so it's going to be interesting to see where they can fit him in here with this group.
All right. We saw you during the trails of the playoffs. The Oilers vanquished by the Vegas Golden Knights. It was 2-2 after you know, the first two games. Edmonton outshot Vegas 75-53 in the final two games of the series. And unfortunately, Stuart Skinner got pulled both games. The Oilers had some tough situations, 5-on-5. Are you surprised? Are you probably not surprised Vegas has gone on to the final? What about Florida? Did you see that one coming?
I didn't see that coming, but I got to cover them in the first round with Boston. And, you know, that's not an 8-seed team. That's not a team that they just timed it. All year they were disappointing. The big trade happened, and then they caught lightning in a bottle. When you think about what they did, they had to get Chicago to beat Pittsburgh to get in the playoffs.
Right.
They get in, and then they're down 3-1 in that series. And it's just one of those stories that they came together at the right time. They're very well coached. When you have that hot goaltender, you can't bet against them. I know they're down 1 in this series right now, but I think that this is going to be a 7-game series. I didn't see it coming, to answer your question. Of course, no one can say they did, but when you watch them and see how they play, you have to stand back and say, boy, they're an impressive team. Both of these teams are. When you look at Vegas, Bob, they play that complete game that every organization tries to get to, and that's why they're so hard to play against, and that's what Florida does too. Plus, add Bobrovsky, who's been
You've seen this before with him, right? You've seen this where he just stoned. You saw him stone Tampa.
Yeah, I was with Bob his first 3 years in the National Hockey League in Philly, and to watch him up close, work hard. I mean, there was times when we were waiting after games, and we said, Bob, we're going to put the bike on top of the bus because we have to go to the airport. You can just get up there and ride it while we drive to the airport, because he's so locked into his routine. He's a very simple man when it comes to lifestyle. Great to see him back at that top form, but it's not surprising because he's so dedicated and so regimented in how he plays. And, you know, it's interesting, too, to watch him with his defensemen, right? That's obviously something that's big in his mind, too, is they do a really good job working around him, and he appreciates it. You see him every single whistle smiling and chatting and patting and just saying, you know, they're working together. And that's what Bob needs. And that's what he had here with John Tortorella, because John Tortorella expected players to block shots, clear the front of the net, and that's what they're doing for Sergei.
We're joined by longtime Blue Jackets analyst on the TV side, does some work with TNT and NHL Network, Jody Shelley, who, now, do you still have family here, by the way?
Oh, yeah. My brother, Luke, my sister, Kate, and then my cousins are just nieces and nephews. Sorry. And my mom and dad, they're all in Sherwood Park. And my sister, Krista's up in Fort Mac. They're all in Alberta.
How did you end up in the Quebec League?
Well, I lived in almost every province in Canada. And when I was 18, I was in Yarmouth, Nova Scotia, playing high school hockey. And I got on the draft list because I went to a select tournament one weekend. And so when there was 28 rounds, I think I was in the last round or whatever. I'm exaggerating, of course. There's never 28 rounds, but they had 90 guys coming to camp, and they said, who's this kid in Yarmouth that's this is the inaugural camp. Who's this kid in Yarmouth that's on the draft list? And they said, well, invite him. So they called me to invite me, and I actually hung the phone up. I said, yeah, I don't know. I'll ask my parents. And I told my dad, I said, this team, Halifax Mooseheads, wants me to go. And I'm in a small lobster fishing community in Yarmouth. And my dad's like, well, maybe you should go. I'm like, all right, I'll go. So I went, and 3 days in, I wanted to come home because I was homesick and everyone was speaking French, and we were in Campbellton, New Brunswick. And my dad gave me a great piece of advice. He said, do yourself a favor. Don't cut yourself. Just wait it out until they cut you. And I made the team and had 3 great years in Halifax, changed my life. And that's where I started fighting. I'd never had a fight before that. And I found a way to... I got into a fight with Moose DuPont, and then figured out that was my only way to make it.
Whoa. Was Moose coaching the team?
Junior, not, no, Moose's son.
Oh, I'm going to say, like, you're not exactly...
That's a liar's legend.
Yes, you're not... He was always looking...
trying out for the Moose heads.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, that's hilarious. I mean, I've mentioned this to you before. I grew up in... Todd Ewan, God rest his soul, was in St. Albert, and they had Manny Viveros, and they used to just pump us every game, like 8-2, 9-1, and, you know, but Todd Ewan was the best player. It was,
yeah.
You know, and then he goes to the Western League, and he's a fighter. Like, he was amongst the best. Like, Viveros was really good because he could skate like the wind, but he was like Bobby Orr of Western Canada. He was better than Brian Benning. Brian Benning played 600 games in the league. It was just funny. So it's an amazing situation. I just howl at it. I look forward, Jody, to seeing you down the road. Thank you for providing us with some insight into the Babcock situation. All I'm going to say, people can say what they want about people getting opportunities in life. I would not bet against Mike Babcock being successful at any time. I think he's a pretty capable guy. So that's...
I agree with you. We'll
all right.
See how it goes.
All right. Thanks,
thanks for having me on, Bob.
Hey, thank you, Jody. Take care. You bet.
Appreciate it.
Hey, you bet. That's Jody Shelley, longtime Blue Jackets broadcaster. It's 124 in Edmonton. We'll take a timeout. This is Oilers Now.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's kazoo concert in Kansas City, go Kevin, or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita!
Make some bad decisions!
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
The Oilers Now Injury Report is brought to you all season long by James H. Brown Injury Lawyers. Trent Brown, Jim Brown, the gang of James H. Brown, 250-plus years of experience. It's this simple. They get you the best results. When accidents happen, go to jameshbrown.com. This text on the Ashley Fine Floors text line at 126 in Edmonton. Bob, some people don't get it. Just because you watch the games or listen to your show, it doesn't make you a knowledgeable fan. The Stanley Cup is not easy to win. There's no guarantee the Oilers will win while Connor is here. That doesn't make the team bad. There are some very good teams trying to do the same thing, and I think our side of the draw will be even harder next season. I got news for you. The texter didn't leave his name. I totally agree. Colorado's going to be better next year, man. That's all there is to it, which makes it even more frustrating this year. Vegas, the one team that finished ahead of Edmonton during the course of the regular season, but I expect Colorado to be right back at it, and they'll make a move as well. The Cold Laker now in the jaw says on the Ashley Fine Floors text line, if you'd seen the Campbellton Tigers play intermediate AAA back in the 1970s, you'd mention them more than tree planting. Seriously, they were very good and very truculent. Great league for the times in small town New Brunswick. There you go. Yeah, so Jody Shelley coming on the show. He's always an entertaining guest, to say the least. Hey, there's nothing wrong with hard competitive hockey. Okay? There's nothing wrong with that. In fact, I might assert to you that the WHL's success at the Memorial Cup has coincided with far fewer of the hard hockey being played. Off to a global news weather traffic update with Randy Kilburn. And when we come back, George LaRocque.
Hi, it's Shauna, and I might be a bad parent because my kids think french fries are vegetables.
Hey, it's Ryan, and I might be a bad parent because I went out for wings when my wife was in the hospital after giving birth.
Johnny here. I might be a bad parent because in my house, the tooth fairy gives pocket change.
But we're not alone. Len emailed us and said his six-year-old daughter's Tarzan moment going from love seat to lazy boy by curtains made him more proud than any dance recital.
And Andy left his two-year-old at the rink. All right, guys, I'm sure we're not alone, like Andy's kid.
For stories and confessions like this, make sure you check out our podcast.
It's called Bad Parents, and it's available wherever you get your podcasts.
I left a glove at the rink.